Stomach and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Sparkling water with a spark. Drink Focus.com. Titans lose to the Patriots 36-13, though it was much closer than the final score indicated. Ryan Tannehill. 11 of 21, 93 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He was sacked twice for 8 yards and had a quarterback rating of 60.2. Now, I said on Friday's show to Chase McCabe that I believe Titan fans were going to turn on Ryan Tannehill if he threw out a stinker against the Patriots. Now, whether or not that would be right, whether or not it'd be Tannehill's fault, whether or not I didn't know any of that. But I thought the Titan fans would turn on Tannehill. Now, if you are listening to the show today, my guess is you've probably been listening for the last 6 or 7 weeks, and you know that we've been very hard on Ryan Tannehill on this show, because for a guy who makes $29.5 million, Ryan Tannehill should not throw 4 interceptions in a game to the Texans. But yesterday I got all the tweets. You've been right about Tannehill, Jared. Oh, Jared Tannehill, he's awful. Tannehill this, Tannehill that, Tannehill. I didn't think Tannehill played all that poorly. I mean, if I had a big list of people that I'm upset with, Ryan Tannehill is like at the bottom of the list. I mean, I understand the idea that we all look at stat lines, but I thought it was egregious at halftime yesterday when they put up Tannehill next to Mac Jones, and all of a sudden Nate Burleson and Boomer Esiason are talking about this as he's outplaying Ryan Tannehill. And I'm thinking, you guys watched the game, right? Like, you guys are talking about the game at halftime. You guys are sitting in a studio in New York where you got all the games on, and this is the number one game in the early window at CBS. So you have to have been watching the game, right? That would be the assumption.
That's the assumption.
Like, who's he throwing to? But the Titans weren't trying to throw the ball. The game plan was to not throw the ball. That was literally the game plan, was go out there, run, 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 run. And when you do throw, make it safe. You know, throw it over the middle to the tight end. Look to run with it. Like, just don't go crazy. That was the game plan. And here they are at halftime. Yeah, he's outplaying Tannehill. I'm like, what? The context of the game would never have Ryan Tannehill throw for more yards than Mac Jones. Guess what? 2 years ago in the playoffs, Brady outthrew for Tannehill too. But nobody said that he got outplayed because Tannehill won the game. So I'm watching this game yesterday, and I listened a little bit to the postgame show, and I got all the tweets in and everything else. And the amount of people that were just all over Tannehill for his performance. The guys that are like, I mean, Tannehill, we can't win with Tannehill. I'm like, Tannehill played this exact game in Foxborough 2 years ago and you beat Tom Brady. The exact game. And now you're mad at him?
Because it didn't work.
He threw one interception. And it was on a fourth down play where the ball had to come out anyways. It wasn't like, you know, hey, if we don't get this one, if you don't have it open, throw it into the eighth row. It wasn't one of those plays. It was fourth and goal at the 2. Logan Woodside was really good about not throwing the football to the other team in training camp this year. They go down to Tampa Bay, and Logan throws 3 interceptions in a row in a goal line drill against the Buccaneers. And I'm like, what in the hell has gotten into Logan Woodside? And so I asked Vrabel after the practice, I'm like, what was up with Logan's interceptions? And Vrabel said, well, that drill was a last play of the game scenario, so the ball has to come out. Well, in that case, for the Tannehill interception, the ball had to come out. Now, I thought it was a terrible play call, but I don't think that's Tannehill's fault. I mean, the fans have got to understand when to be mad at Tannehill and when to not be mad at Tannehill. And yesterday, I think Tannehill played okay. See, I get mad at Tannehill when the decisions are bad. I get mad at Tannehill when, in a game against the Chiefs that they pretty much have in the bank, he gets scared of the rush and throws the ball over to the middle right into the hands of the linebacker. That's what I don't like. I don't like when he's about to get sacked against Indianapolis and he just throws the ball and it aimlessly falls in the middle of the field because he's trying to get rid of it. Or the intentional grounding he took against the Texans the other day. I can't stand those. That interception down around the goal line, I got no beef with that one. I have no problem with Tannehill for that. Tannehill could not throw to win this game. He didn't have any players to throw to win this game. They never got him a tight end. He had no wide receivers. Titans were running it at 7 yards a crack. The game plan was spot on. So again, know when to be mad at Tannehill. Know what to blame Tannehill for. But yesterday, it wasn't that. And I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid that the fans are just going to look at the stat line. And that bothers me because you all watched the game.
The stat line and the score, because both of which I don't think tell a true story of exactly how the game looked yesterday.
No.
And to the fans that are upset at Ryan Tannehill, I defer to the Texans game. Because after the Texans game, after Ryan Tannehill threw four interceptions and threw for 300 something yards, the fans were saying, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Don't all of a sudden try and recreate the wheel just because you don't have.
I know the fans were saying that. I know I was saying that. I think the fans were.
Maybe I'm wrong. I think the fans should have been saying that because you see what happens whenever Ryan Tannehill is in charge of the football and throws the ball.
But against that secondary? Against the Patriots secondary.
And with what receivers?
With no receivers. See, that's where I can't, this is where I cannot understand what Bill was doing yesterday. Like, this is the one thing that I mean, and you all know I love Belichick. I don't know what Bill was doing yesterday. I mean, surely Bill wasn't worried about Tannehill beating him through the air, was he? And then, so how were the Titans getting 7 yards a crack? I mean, it didn't make any sense to me. Vrabel's game plan was the smart game plan, but I thought, like, after the Titans started to really move the football effectively, they had the first touchdown drive where they ran and they ran and they ate clock and then Bullock missed the kick and then they had the Hilliard long touchdown and I'm like, okay, Bill is going to stack the box now. And Bill did a little bit of that, but the Titans still ran the ball all over them. That's good football. That is winning football. Tannehill played, and I'm going to say it, Tannehill played a good game yesterday. He didn't play a great game. And, you know, I think he played the kind of game that any quarterback could play. So I'm not sure why I need to pay you $29.5 million to play that game. But Tannehill played a good game yesterday.
There was one decision that worried me, though.
The one that he threw right into the hands of Van Noy and Van Noy.
That very easily could have been picked up.
That was bad.
That was a bad decision. He threw right into three or four Patriots. And Nick Westbrook-Akina was just standing there kind of helpless.
That was the one weekly Ryan Tannehill
bad decision.
Throws the ball to the other team, and this time Kyle Van Noy didn't catch it. So there was that, you know. But as far as, like, now you want to be mad at, like, now you want to be mad at Tannehill? Now is when you want to say that the guy can't win? Where were you last week? Where were you earlier in the season? I know they were winning games, but, like, where were you then? So I don't get it. I told Chase on Friday I thought the fans were going to turn on Tannehill. Just from what I've seen on Twitter, and we'll take your texts and your calls on it, just what I've seen on Twitter so far, I think the fans have turned on Tannehill. And I do think that Tannehill has not had a good season. I think Tannehill's done a lot of bad decision-making. But it was, I mean, every time that I would talk about it, you guys would blow up the show and say, stop bashing Tannehill. Now he throws for under 100 yards and you all want to dump on him. And I'm like, nah, he did what the game plan told him to do. And I thought he played pretty well yesterday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Tannehill, the least of my concerns. Todd Downing. And I have not been a get-on-the-offensive coordinator, but I'm about to get on the offensive coordinator. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025 on a Reaction Monday. It's also a Titans Monday right here on ESPN 1025. The game Reaction Monday is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and by Focus Sparkling Water with a Spark. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Deals include half-off gift cards to these great Nashville locations: Nashville Armory, Brooklyn Bowl Nashville, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, 312 Pizza Company in Germantown, and Fat Cat Slims in the Gulch. Get your deal now at thegamenashville.com/deals.
Fourth and goal from the 2. Motion man is swinging. Fake the handoff. Tannehill looking, guns it, deflected and intercepted in the end zone. J.C. Jackson is Mr. Pick.
J.C. Jackson. Now, like, I understand that when we look at the end of the season, Tannehill's got 13 interceptions. You know, that's fourth and goal. The ball has to come out. You don't really have a choice. I don't really hold that one against Tannehill. I do want to say this before we get to the phones. I think you guys can back me up here. I have not at any point gone after Todd Downing. Fair?
You've actually been the most pro-Todd Downing person on the show, I would have to say.
I might have been the most pro-Todd Downing person on the radio station, maybe. Honestly. And I really haven't. I thought he's called good games. And, you know, do I think he's as good as Arthur? No. But it takes time and, you know, whatever. I thought Todd Downing's head was so far up his rear end yesterday, it made me sick. And I'm going to go back to two separate instances that I just found to be reprehensible. That interception I thought was terrible. Because you're getting 7 yards a carry. You're 2 yards out. You've got a mobile enough quarterback. I get it. You don't have Lamar Jackson. But Tannehill can run with the football. They've done it only 1,000 times over the last 3 years, including this year. So I'm sitting there like, okay, here you go. Fourth and goal, got to have it at the two. This needs to be a play where Ryan Tannehill has the football in his hands and can either give it to one of the running backs or keep it himself. And instead, it was a rollout to Cody Hollister. Oh, my God. Now, somebody texted me and said that Vrabel in his press conference today tried to, I guess, clear it up a little bit and said that the fourth down call was supposed to come out early, but the Patriots took away both early options.
Because that's what good teams do.
That they got J.C. Jackson and Devin McCourty. This is a team that voluntarily let Stephon Gilmore go. Like, they were like, no, we're good. We're good. You go. The Patriots have good players on defense. Like, that's what, especially in the secondary. So, both early options were taken away. Hollister was the last resort. Okay, so what were the other options? Michael Pruitt? What, I mean, what was the, Des Fitzpatrick? Like, what were the, okay. Watching it back, it looks like it could have been Chester Rogers in the flat, or more likely number 40. Who the hell's number 40? Torrey Carter?
He's 44, I believe.
I think he's 44. Hilliard.
Hilliard.
Or more likely, Hilliard, who leaks out in the flat behind 80 and 87, Swaim, should have been unaccounted for, and the Pats had him covered. Guys, all those names I just mentioned are all bums. I mean, like...
But it's all the Titans have.
It doesn't matter.
You can't call them bums.
That's why the ball has to be in the hands of Tannehill to run with it. Because if I've got my option of running behind my $14, $15 million left tackle and my $12 million guard, and I've got the option of doing it with two guys that are both over a buck, including Hilliard, who's at $130, and I'm getting 7 yards a crack at it, and I've got a mobile quarterback, all those are our full card Montes. That's why the Ravens go for on every fourth and short, because all it is a three-card Monte. Where is it? Because I don't know, does Lamar have it? Did Lamar give it? Is Lamar going to throw it? Is Lamar, that's the entire Ravens offense. And you can do it with Tannehill. And you had been pushing back their defensive line the whole game, including on that drive. I thought the play call was terrible. Just given who you had in the game, who they had to cover who you had, and what you didn't use. The other thing that bothered me by Downing, and this one, maybe it was a Vrabel, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But the Titans, again, the Titans were averaging 6.9 yards per carry. Hilliard had a 68-yard run. Foreman had a 30-yard run. Tannehill had an 11-yard run. You are running all over New England. And it's not like at halftime, Bill didn't know what you were trying to do. So Floyd used to always say one of Bill's, one of the hallmarks of what made Bill such a good coach is that a lot of coaches go in at halftime and adjust. Mm-hmm. Bill adjusts series to series. And so Bill knew what you were doing because I knew what they were doing. And so if I know what they're doing, obviously Bill knows. And Bill still couldn't stop it. And Bill's only, I don't know, the greatest defensive coach of our lifetimes. So Bill knows what you're doing, and he can't stop it. Foreman fumbles the ball. And I get it. It'd be very easy to say, if Derrick Henry was out there, Derrick Henry wouldn't have fumbled. But the reality is, the best offense you have at this point in the game, and it is well established, is to run the football with Foreman and Hilliard, right?
Yes, but I mean, a healthy Derrick Henry changes that.
But you can't fix that.
Correct.
Downing can't do anything about that now.
Correct. Hilliard, I thought that's where you were getting
Foreman at. Fumbles the ball. Foreman fumbles the ball. And I understand the idea of when a guy who is essentially a replacement-level player makes a mistake, it's easy to take that guy out of the game than it is easier to take A.J. Brown out of the game. I get it. A.J. drops passes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. stays in the game.
And Tannehill trusts A.J.
Well, I mean, I think they know A.J. is going to drop more, but they just keep throwing it to A.J. because it's better than not throwing to A.J. But Foreman fumbles the football. New England punts to the Titans. 5 plays, 4 yards. Ball goes to the Tennessee Titans at the New England 41. From the New England 41 to the Titan 11. Great job by the defense to get the ball back and not turn what could have been a game-ending fumble into more than it was, which was a game-changing fumble. Titans first at 10 in the 11. Tannehill incomplete to Torrey Carter. Tannehill scrambles right for 5 yards. Tannehill shotgun incomplete to Cody Hollister. You're averaging 7 yards a carry, and at not one point do you hand off to your running backs. And while in a normal situation, I would understand the two running backs have fumbled the ball, so I'd rather throw the ball to A.J. Brown. I'd rather throw the ball to Jonnu Smith. I'd rather throw the ball to Corey Davis or Julio Jones. But those guys aren't out there. The only chance you had to win was to run the football. You get the ball at the 11. It's still manageable because even though the fumble shouldn't have happened, it's 19-13, and the Titans at their own 11 don't run a handoff one time. Just stupid. Just common sense. I'm running it for 7 yards a pop. I've busted 2 big ones today. What am I going to do? Throw it to Torrey Carter. Oh, that's terrible. It's terrible. It's just reckless. And so yesterday, and again, I have been a Downing defender all year long. After 3 weeks, people were ready to rip Downing apart. I said, I'm not ready to go there. This game was his worst game as the Titans offensive coordinator because that was bad. And these are the games where you can't have those kind of mistakes, those play calling mistakes. You're backed up at your 11. You can't go 3 and out because now all of a sudden New England gets the football at their 44-yard line. And that was the whole key to the game. That's where the not lining up right on the punt, having the holding on the kickoff to start the game, not being at your own 11 and not gaining any yards. Because Mac Jones and the Titans were inviting Mac to throw the ball down the field. Mac wanted to dink and dunk and throw screens. Mac Jones can score when you give him the ball at the 43. Tannehill's one of the best quarterbacks in the league consistently when you give him the ball in great field position. That was a hallmark of early Brady. Good field position. You need to put that ball at the New England 7. And you need to make Mac Jones march down the field with his running game that's not getting anything. And you need to make him do that 3 times a game. Because I don't think he can. But when you give him the ball at the 44-yard line, or you give him the ball at his own or at your 35-yard line, he's going to score. So that's where Downing, I mean, I just thought Downing was terrible yesterday. I just thought that shows an inexperienced play caller who is trying to get back what they lost on the fumble or who is trying to punish the guy for fumbling when he's the best option. And I'll say it to you like this. Hilliard and Foreman are not Derrick Henry. Fair?
Very fair.
Okay.
But 130
yards.
They did a heck of a job yesterday.
130 yards and 109. That's some Derrick Henry stuff right
there. Yes.
You give the ball back to those guys. Because if Derrick had fumbled, I bet you give him the ball back. Because guess what? And it drives me insane when he does. Derrick Henry does fumble the football. And guess what they do? They give it back to Derrick. So I thought Downing called yesterday with his head stuck up his rear end. And I don't know if he was intimidated by Belichick, but I thought that right there, that three and out, then Patriot touchdown, that right there. Now you're in trouble. And that's where everybody has to do their job. And Derek makes it easier for everybody. The general manager has not drafted very well. That is well known. But it doesn't matter when Derek runs off for 200 yards. And you're in the AFC Championship game and everybody loves you because of Derek. But times are different now. And Downing did not do his job effectively yesterday. We're to your phones next. 615-737-1025. Tannehill and Downing. I think Tannehill played okay. I thought Downing was horrible yesterday. 615-737-1025. Reaction Mondays powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We are delivered by TriStar Moving right here on Stillman and Company. Hey, Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 1025 The Game. It'll air all season on Wednesday from 6 to 7, featuring former Preds players, current Preds players, and other special guests. And you can watch online with 1025 The Game's Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Be sure to join us for Smashville Live all hockey season long, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game.
I like how this game is playing out. They are staying close to New England, and many thought that wouldn't happen.
Second down and 10.
Oh, the ball is loose! Recovered by the Patriots. Hilliard coughs it up. Kyle Duggar.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. At least Hilliard made up for it later in the game with the 65-yard touchdown run right before the half. Or right out of the half. I can't remember. I mean, Hilliard, it was right before the half.
Right before the half.
Yeah, Hilliard made up for it with the touchdown run. Good for him. Let's go to your phones. As promised, Titans, Patriots on the table. Downing, Tannehill, you name it. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Grant is up next on Ryan Tannehill. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Grant.
Hey, thank you for taking the call. I just want to, you know, I think those are some good points you're making about the play calling. But I will say this, Tannehill had a pretty darn good game yesterday, and I think if it weren't, you know, he threw a touchdown pass that hit the guy right in the chest and gets dropped. And if that doesn't happen, that interception won't happen if the guy catches the easy touchdown pass.
So you're talking about the ball to Pruitt in the back of the end zone. I thought Pruitt probably should have caught it, but it was also behind him. So, I mean, he had to make an adjustment on the ball. I appreciate your call, Grant. He had to make an adjustment. He had to make an adjustment on the ball. And I didn't think that that was – in fact, I think Tannehill missed the wide-open guy. Swain was standing wide open in the middle of the end zone on the play that he threw it to Pruitt, and it was incomplete. I just hate the play call. I just hated getting away from running. And I especially hated getting away from running on fourth down. I mean, you're doing one thing that is highly effective, and Bill hasn't been able to figure it out. So what do? You do the opposite. Okay. You know what this reminds me of, Ian? Remember any time that we would talk about, like, coaches that didn't take timeouts, or we used to always argue this when Rick Barnes would coach. You know, Rick Barnes at Tennessee never calls timeouts. So the other team can be on like a 17-0 run in an NCAA tournament game, and Rick Barnes will just sit there on the bench like the four guys in the alley on King of the Hill that just say yep as they drink their beer. And that's like a Rick Barnes hallmark, and it drives me nuts. And Floyd used to always say, well, you know how many meetings they've had about calling timeouts? And so I don't want to sit here and criticize when you haven't taken the time to do the meetings that they've had to discuss these things and the time that they've done. I bet you they spent a lot of time last week on their two-point conversion play. Because that's what that was, that fourth and goal from the two. That's essentially a two-point conversion, right?
And that's their go-to.
Right. Like, that's the, we're down 28-26, we score a touchdown.
We need 2 points here. We got to
go for two. All right, run the play. And I'm going to assume that that's the play on fourth down that they would have used had they had to go for two. Okay, I get it. I understand it. I'm sure you had a lot of meetings to discuss it. But it wasn't the right call at the right time given the way the game was being played. And I feel like Todd Downing kind of took his hands off the feel of the game. You're not going to go down to the red zone and outsmart Belichick. Like, it's just not going to happen. And so that's what really gets me. What do we have in the text line?
LC texts in and reverberates a sentiment that we've seen from a few texters. Says, I feel like it's time to draft a quarterback. Develop him for a year if possible.
Yeah, so I try to explain this to people, but like sometimes... I have a friend who's a doctor, right? So I have I actually now have a lot of friends who are doctors, but I have a friend who's a doctor, and I was talking to her like the other day, and I forget exactly what we were talking about. I think it was something vaccine related. I can't remember. And she was talking about how hard it can be sometimes to have discussions about medical issues with people that literally have zero basis for understanding it. And I remember telling her when she said that, I go, okay, now imagine being Floyd Reese and doing that for 4 hours every day for 5 years. Because that's what this show was. Like, I would come on the air and I would just start spouting off about the Titans game, just like I am now. And then he'd be like, you know, in his head, and Ian, I think you can back me up on this. We could see this, you know, from him. But like, he just would kind of dumb certain things down or whatever and, you know, answer the calls on Ask the GM. And he had a great personality. And I think Floyd had a lot of talent as a broadcaster. But that wasn't, I'm not saying that wasn't what he thought, but that isn't completely what he thought. If he were to have a discussion on a Titans Monday with Vrabel, like if it were to be instead of me, him, and you all, if it were him, Vrabel, and John Robinson, the discussions would have been a lot different. Because we just don't know anything that he knows. Like, he knows, he can look at a guy's butt and tell you if they're going to be a good defensive tackle or not. I can't do that. You can't do that either. And so, like, that's how I feel when this comes to the whole Tannehill discussion about the texter who says, time to start thinking about drafting a quarterback. You can't. You can't think about drafting a quarterback. You're going to be picking 26th this year. How many quarterbacks are available at 26 overall? So what, are you going to trade up to go get a quarterback?
Oh, boy. No.
So I got Derrick Henry.
But you have so many holes on your roster as is.
I've got Derrick Henry in the middle of an all-time great run right towards the end of the prime of his career. And I'm going to invest my entire draft that's going to have to make up for the last couple years' drafts, and I'm going to have to invest that draft into a quarterback that's not going to play while Derrick Henry's here. Because that's what San Francisco's doing right now. San Francisco got to the Super Bowl, decided they didn't like their quarterback anymore, and now they've got the quarterback and the other quarterback, and they got no picks in the future. So that's what you want to do, because that's what you're doing. The difference between you and San Francisco, though, is San Francisco wrote Garoppolo's contract that was basically like, after the second year of this contract, it's year to year. Which was the original Tannehill deal. But then you all had to have Julio Jones, so they did, and they extended Tannehill's contract, and you are stuck with Tannehill for this year, next year, and the year after. Now, you all said do it, but I've learned that with draft picks and salary caps and things like that, fans don't care about it. Like, they don't care.
Well, it's not a sexy thing to talk about.
They don't care. It's like, nope. Oh, yeah, they trade a first-round pick for this guy. Odell Beckham Jr. Okay. All right. What else we got?
Jeff texts in and says, the Titans have shown us over the last several years that they must do things the hard way. They're never able to receive and then take advantage of any good fortunes either earned or thrust upon them. And when looking at the future salary cap numbers, they had better get it in gear this year.
So here's where I'm going to agree with the caller. Do you know who the Titans play if the playoffs were to start today? And remember how much just talking I have done about the road to the Super Bowl. The Titans' road to the Super Bowl as of today would include the Buffalo Bills at Nissan Stadium in the wild card round. So Josh Allen, who might be a top three quarterback in the game, is now coming to Nissan Stadium. You do realize if you had the one seat, so all you had to do is beat the crap-ass Texans. If you had the one seed, because this goes back to the caller's point about the Titans have to do everything the hard way. If you had the one seed, or you end up with the one seed in the AFC, Buffalo would play New England. Well, one of those teams is taking each other out. And neither of those teams you're going to have to go see on the road. So let's say you're the Titans, and you turn around and you beat the Buffalo Bills at home. You know what your second game in the playoffs is?
Baltimore?
Nope. You go on the road to Foxborough. Back to New England you go. Because you're the three seed, so anybody else that's below you, or anybody else that would make it past would be below you, and they'd go to the one seed.
Right.
So let's just say that you win in Foxborough. So now you go from Buffalo, you beat Buffalo at home, so Josh Allen, at Belichick. Now guess what you get? One of two matchups, most likely. Either you go to Baltimore and you have to play Lamar Jackson on the road.
Don't want it.
Or you host Patrick Mahomes at Nissan Stadium.
Also don't want it.
Okay.
A completely different Chiefs team than the Titans faced earlier.
So this is the path you've now, like, to talk about how the Titans make things hard on themselves. This is the path you've now chosen to go.
But we also have to give them a little bit of credit for making it easier on themselves for having this stretch of injuries. The Titans set themselves up for such an opportune time right now that they can afford to lose two games in a row in stupid fashion and still be, you know, two games ahead of the Colts in the division with a tiebreaker.
Sure, but I don't put that on the guys that are playing football right now.
Well, you can't. Those guys are injured.
I put that on the most valuable player in the NFL. There's no doubt in my mind Derrick Henry's the most valuable player in the league. Like, remember how we would talk about, could Derrick win MVP this year? Should Derrick win MVP this year? Could Derrick this? Derrick's most valuable player in the league. I mean, this team is so different without him. Guys make dumb mistakes without him. He can't cover up bad coaching. He can't cover, like, Downing's play calling. He forces them. And I go back to the Downing series that I lost my bananas about in the last segment, which was after the Foreman fumble, the Titans force a punt, first and 10 at the 11. You think Derek's getting one of those three plays?
But
yes.
Also, at the end of the day, you have to look at, since Derrick Henry has gone down, the Titans are 2-2.
Yes. The Titans had one game where their defense played really, really well. The Rams game was that.
Yes.
Other than that,
the offense looked bad.
They have not played well in three games. They did not play well against the Saints. They did not play well against the Texans, and they did not play well to the standard that we should hold them. Grading on a curve with injured players, they didn't play to the standard that we should hold them yesterday. Because I hold the, you know, going back to all the points that I feel like the Titans gave the Patriots, I hold Elijah Molden to the standard that he can make a tackle in the open field. I hold Kevin Byard to the standard that when the quarterback just aimlessly throws the ball down the middle of the field, you can get up in front of the defender and knock, or in front of the receiver and knock that ball away. I hold the kicker to the standard of making a 41-yard kick and making a PAT. I hold Dylan Cole to the standard of catching a ball thrown right into his hands. I hold Jackrabbit Jenkins accountable to getting the right angle and stopping Kendrick Bourne from cutting that ball up into the end zone. So what it is right now is it's just not acceptable. And it's not getting better. And that's where it's like, well, maybe Derek makes some of those things better. Maybe instead of, we can look at the two fumbles and say, well, Derek wouldn't have done that, and that's easy. But maybe that Tannehill interception, which again, I thought was a bad play call, maybe you don't have that because Derek puts the ball in the end zone on the play before that, or because it's fourth and goal from the two, and you're like, hey, we've run it for 7 yards a crack on him. Let's give it to Derek. But maybe Derek makes it easier, but he doesn't erase all of this.
And I also reverberate a point that you made earlier about Bud Dupree. How different could this game have been if Bud Dupree was in? Because Mac Jones was throwing the ball all over the place. I don't know off the top of my head how many 20-plus yard balls he threw, but a lot.
No. Like balls that traveled 20-plus yards or balls that were a screen pass that ended up being a 23-yard gain.
Well, I guess both.
Okay, because I think there's a big difference there. I mean, I think Jones threw...
Because I don't think he throws that many if Bud Dupree is in there and that defensive line is putting the same amount of pressure that they put on Patrick Mahomes or Matthew Stafford.
I think Mac Jones threw one great pass yesterday. That was the touchdown to Bourne on third down. And that, I mean, he threw that ball at the snap. Like, that was balls there. He saw the coverage he liked. He just put it up there. I mean, that was just a beauty. Other than that, I thought every time Jones threw the ball down the field, Titan player had a chance to make a play on it. Now, he threw a lot of short ones where they cut it up and ran with it. He threw to the tight ends a lot. I mean, he did a lot of things that if you gave Tyrod Taylor those players, Tyrod Taylor probably could have done. I think Mac Jones...
But that's what they want him to do.
Right.
6 yard screen here and there.
That's what they don't want him throwing.
No.
That ball, I got to tell you, Belichick, I bet you Belichick ripped his rear end for that ball that Jacoby Myers caught. That one down the middle of the field that Byard whiffed on. I bet Belichick is like, you do not throw that ball there. Because Belichick knows that if he does it in a couple of weeks and that's Jordan Poyer, there's a good chance that ball's going the other way.
But what's the difference between that throw without Bud Dupree and with Bud Dupree?
I can't tell you that.
I can't either.
I think it is very noticeable that Bud Dupree, that when Bud Dupree was healthy, which was two games, it was the Chiefs game. Well, I think it was three games. The Chiefs game, the Colts game, and the Rams game. And in that, you turn the other team's quarterback over a significant amount of the time. And in this game, Jones wasn't throwing interceptions because, one, when he threw you a ball you could take, you dropped it. Or two, because Jones literally could just sit back there and do whatever he wanted to do. And I think the hamstring's bothering Landry. We're back to your phones next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Is there a certain point, perhaps, where the injury just become too much? And might you have reached that
point? I don't know. I mean, we've dropped two in a row. So our record, you know, that's a huge bummer on our record and how we've, you know, lost that one seed or whatever. But, you know, Rave has done such a great job as a head coach of putting guys in. I mean, injuries happen. There's nothing we can do about it. I don't, you know, if there was a way to stop injuries, every single team in the NFL would do it. How many we've had this year is just a super, you know, super unfortunate. But Vrabel, every single week, harps on the team keys, puts guys in there. Our coaches do a great job of, you know, if we have our whole starting offensive line, putting more on the offensive line. We have our whole receiver core, putting more on them, and plugging and playing guys and teaching them the game plan to where they know what's going on and then go play fast and aggressive. And I think, you know, I think Vrabel and this whole entire coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for that.
There you go. That was Taylor Lewan. I'm not hearing, like, the moral victories of, hey, Vrabel puts us in the position to win every week. The question was, are the injuries too much to overcome? I don't think yesterday the injuries had anything to do with Elijah Molden not making a tackle or Jackrabbit Jenkins not making a tackle or Randy Bullock missing a PAT or them not getting lined up right on a punt return or you want to name it. A lot of issues in yesterday's game. Let's go to your phones as promised.
Gator Tim texts in and says Bud Dupree makes absolutely no difference.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just put it to you like this. Kevin Byard, when Bud Dupree was healthy, Kevin Byard was the runaway defensive player of the year. Kevin Byard yesterday sucked.
12 tackles and a sack. He didn't suck.
Oh, boy, I tell you.
He made some mad mistakes.
You know what's bad? When you're an all-pro, like when you're an all-pro, when you're Deion Sanders, you don't. The other guy doesn't want to throw on you. Belichick didn't have any problem going at him. I mean, and I said in the pregame show, I didn't think Belichick was going to throw the ball. I thought they were going to tell Mac Jones, under no circumstances do you throw it near 31. Because if I was Belichick, I'd be scared to death of a turnover being what could get me beat in that game. Going into it, I would be scared to death. And plus, we know Belichick hates turnovers anyways, especially from young quarterbacks. But, I mean, they went right at him. They put Hunter Henry, they went right at Byard. And so Byard last year, when he didn't have a pass rush, wasn't very good. And Byard, and we said Byard was trying to do too much because everybody else. This year, no David Long Jr., no Bud Dupree. Byard does not look like the same guy that he was four weeks ago or whenever it was. And I'm going to tell you, and I think Byard's having a good season, and I think Byard still could be an all-pro and all those. But when everybody on your defense, when the entire narrative around your defense is different when you're not in there, you matter.
And I'll go back to what I said after the Rams game, that Bud Dupree made an impact. Or maybe it was the Colts game. It was the Colts game. Bud Dupree made an impact on that game that will not show up on any sort of box score. That's not going to show up in any sort of highlight reel. He makes an impact on the defense that you don't really see, but he makes opportunities for Kevin Byard, for, you know, possible turnovers, for forcing interceptions. Bud Dupree puts pressure on the quarterback that allows Kevin Byard to take advantage
of it. Well, the last play of the game on the 4th-and-1 against the Rams was a Stafford rollout that Bud Dupree sniffed out, and Stafford threw the ball into the ground, and that was it.
Yeah.
And that was because Bud Dupree was there. The first drive against Kansas City was a third-down strip sack by Bud Dupree of Patrick Mahomes. I'll put it to you like this. The Pittsburgh Steelers last year, they were 11-0 to start the season. They did not lose until December 7th when they lost 23-17 to the Washington football team. Bud Dupree played the first 11 games last year and then got hurt. And the Steelers for the season. So again, 11-0 with Bud Dupree, the Steelers were 12-4 and knocked out in the first round. So you can't tell me, there is no metric that you could tell me that makes me think Bud Dupree doesn't make his football team better. Because they were 1-5 without Bud Dupree last year and 11-0 with Bud Dupree. And Bud Dupree was healthy, I think, for three games this year. Kansas City, Indianapolis, and the Rams. And the Titans were 3-0 and put together two of their best performances of the year.
I mean, Elijah Molden does not make that interception in the end zone if Bud Dupree does not put pressure on Carson Wentz.
I can't remember if that was Bud or not. Was it Bud?
It was Bud who put pressure on Carson Wentz, and he made a stupid throw in the end zone, and Elijah Molden was able to capitalize off of it. That's what he does. He creates opportunities. Ryan in Nashville texts in and says, if Tannehill can play like he did against the Chiefs, precise and decisive ball placement, and if Julio and AJ, can get healthy and play down the stretch, we've got a shot. Tannehill has five games left to step up more in the pocket and eliminate bad decisions.
So I think that the fans are having a really hard time trying to figure out what is the real story with Ryan Tannehill that Floyd probably knew all along that I am now completely aware of, which is, Tannehill can play however you want to ask Tannehill to play. You want Tannehill to go throw it 50 times a game? He can do that, and he can throw for 400 yards because he's done that in Miami, and he's won some games like that. But just know he's going to turn the football over, so your team's going to have to make up for those. You want Tannehill to throw it for 200? You want Tannehill to throw it for 220 yards and run the football for most of the game? He can do that. You got to get him some receivers, but he could do that. But if you're trying to minimize the clock and make this a short game, shorten the game, you want Tannehill to throw for 100 yards, like he did against the Ravens, like he did against the Patriots in the playoffs. It is what you're asking of Tannehill, not what Tannehill is capable of. Why did Tannehill throw the ball with accuracy, pinpoint against the Chiefs? Because they had nine guys at the line of scrimmage. So literally, he could throw the ball up into the end zone, and he knew A.J. would go up and get it over a corner who's not very good. It's all about what you're asking Tannehill to do. But you can't ask Tannehill right now to go play like he played against the Chiefs, because he's not going to see a nine-man box like that and go up against corners. You can't ask, even if Derrick Henry was in there and A.J. was in there, you can't ask him to play the same game he played against the Chiefs, because J.C. Jackson is in there for the Patriots. So I think it's easy to sit there and point to his best game and say, Tannehill can be like this every game, and he just can't be. More of your phone, 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. One thing that the national media over the course of the week will very easily allow you to forget, but I will not, about yesterday's game. And we'll do that next. Stillman & Company, Invigorate Health. They're online at InvigorateHealthTN.com. They are the exclusive providers of semaglutide. Now, how many people out there over the Thanksgiving weekend, and not just Thanksgiving Day, but how many people over the Thanksgiving weekend overindulged, and you knew that these are calories that you're going to have to account for later? Who's got a holiday party coming up in the next 14 days? Who's got family dinners for Christmas? Who's got Hanukkah celebration? Who's got it all coming up where it's calories, calories, calories? Travel, you're not going to be able to exercise, and you know January 1st is coming and your New Year's resolution is going to be to lose weight. You need to give semaglutide a try. Semaglutide, I have talked to my friends who are doctors, and I have asked them, is this safe? Before I tell people that, they say it's a great drug. It has been prescribed to diabetics for years. It has been FDA approved for weight loss since the summer, and it is flying off the shelves. And Invigorate Health is the only place in the Middle Tennessee area where you can get semaglutide. Again, what it does is it controls your appetite. So when you start to overindulge, your body feels totally full. And if you're a big guy like me, you've experienced probably an entire lifestyle where you just don't feel full enough. Your other friends can't finish their meal, and you're like, wow, I'm just going. Semiglutide will help you today. So give my friends at Invigorate Health a call. It is worth the drive in Mount Juliet. You need to give this drug a call. This drug a try. Men's Health Magazine is raving about it as the cure for obesity. Again, that is semiglutide, exclusively carried by Invigorate Health, InvigorateHealthTN.com.